Good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the one, 95.1 FM, and of course for 50 years almost, 1080 AM radio, KYMN. I'm Wayne Eddy, and it's time for the Wayne Eddy Affair on a Monday morning. Today is August 6th, and the year is 2018, and my guest at Kim Radio is a very, very busy young man by the name of Steve Jennings. And Steve, thank you for coming in. You've been in before, but I always enjoy learning from you. You brought in a fistful of CDs and music, but the first thing I want to ask you, Steve, is, are you ready?
I am ready, Wayne. It's great to be here. Better bring my level down just a little.
Okay.
I'm that ready.
Yeah, I like that. You're working the mic the way you should. Here's the deal.
Yes, sir.
I think I got in contact with you about over a month ago, and you have been so busy, and we finally found a date that you could come on in. And tell me, why were you so busy? What were you up to?
Well, there was a number of things, Wayne. I won't go back through my calendar day by day, which is something that I love to do, but I won't do that for you. I was playing a lot of shows. I was in and out of town. Samantha Ann Parr, who is my stepdaughter and Pauline's daughter, she moved to a new town in Berthoud, named Berthoud, Colorado. So we helped her move in, and all these things take time.
Berthoud.
So family, yeah, that's just south of Loveland, and she's a barn manager on a horse farm.
Oh, I bet you she loves that one.
Oh, she loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I mean, just last week I was talking to a horse lady on Tuesday, and I had a buddy. As a matter of fact, he was the late Bob Bashir. He was my best man in Julie and I's wedding, and he had a daughter, and we hung together for years, and he put on a 16th birthday party for her, which I guess is socially cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he did is that he spent time arranging with Chip DeMann to come down and ride horses. And I asked him, I said, well, why would you bring her all the way down to Northfield or Dundas to ride horses? You know, it's a lot of work, and I assume that it costs money for food, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, right about 16, they get interested in boys. And I wanted to be interested in horses instead. So that's why I always think of, when I think of birthdays for young ladies. And now, what about her? Was she into horses from the time she
very,
was a girl?
Oh, very young age. And I think this is something that has been a passion for her for a long, long time. And now she's turned that into her livelihood right now. We're really, really proud of her.
So is it like a dude ranch, or is it like a breeding farm?
No, it's a dressage farm, German dressage farm.
Okay.
It's a very specific kind of horse work, of which I know nothing. And they've got 14 horses. She takes care of them. She takes care of the stalls. She rides them. She walks them. She makes sure they're healthy so their owners can come and practice the specific kind of riding.
You know where the Lions Park is, where the Veterans Park is?
Over? Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
When you were a little boy, you probably don't remember this, but we had, for Defeated Jesse James days, a group of people that wanted to put on a dressage event with horses.
Cool. Across Highway 3 from the rodeo.
Yeah, right, in the park. And I'm thinking, horses. People like horses. And they said, here's how much space we need, and da-da-da. And I didn't have any idea what the word dressage meant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, you know, how perfectionist they are.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to see these horses perform that, you know, usually I think of robbing a bank when I'm on a horse, but do what they do. Pretty amazing.
That's interesting. I don't have any robbing the bank stories, so I can't help you out there. But Jesse James Days is coming up.
Defeat of.
The defeat of Jesse James Days is coming up. Thank you for that clarity. And there are all sorts of fascinating events that are happening that weekend. You're going to talk certainly about some of the different things that are happening. One event I know for sure is a play, a Northfield Arts Guild production, Thursday, Townie Night, the 6th, Friday the 7th, Saturday the 8th, called Kestastrophe. And that'll be at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. And this is a variety show with lots of different kinds of music. The concept is that people choose an absolute favorite musical theater piece of theirs that they would never be cast as. So often this is a gender reversal concept in a song. I'll be the drummer and assisting Kurt Johnson on the piano and others putting together the music for all this, and it's going to be fantastic.
You're going to have to do a lot of rehearsing?
Yeah, they're definitely. Rehearsals have already started. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are some of the songs?
That is a question I can't answer.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Because as a drummer, I never, ever have to concern myself with words.
Okay.
That's a joke.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But I don't have the song list in front of me. I can pull that up. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I'll get that up. But I did want to mention a great shout-out to the NAG production of Next to Nowhere. Pauline and I went to see it yesterday. And this is Eric Parrish directed the show. Michelle Drenth was the lead. Kevin, and I don't know if it's Idaker. It might be Idaker. He was the father. Greta Jacobson, Elijah Lear, Brian Reed, Kyle Yetzer. It was a fantastic cast under the musical direction of Peter Webb. And this was a two-hour journey into a little bit of understanding of what depression is about. It's a heavy, heavy subject. But they did a fantastic job, Wayne. Just absolutely fantastic.
You were there as patrons.
I was there. Yeah. I just went to check it out.
Okay.
And the music was terrific and very difficult. As I understand it, the guitar player works at Blue Monday, and I don't know his name. It is in the program here, so I'm going to find it. But Emmett Forrester was the drummer, and he's a student of mine.
Okay.
Let me find this guitarist. Joe Potts. John Potts. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
I don't know John. John, call in. We'd like to hear some more about your guitar playing. You did a great job. And so they had bass, key, piano, guitar, drums, and then they had violin and cello. Now, one of the things that was amazing about this, Wayne, is you had these moments of intimacy where having those real string instruments just made such a difference. The players were wonderful.
I've never heard of a play at NAG that had all those instruments.
Well,
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Secret Garden years ago with Dan Coleman, we had a pretty big orchestra. And I see that's on the program for the next season. And Dan Coleman, if you're listening, we want to know if you're musical directing that show. The Secret Garden Reboot, 2019, Northfield Arts Guild Theater.
Steve Jennings is our guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. And, Steve, you ever been to the Quarterback Club?
I have. I love the Quarterback Club.
You know, they're like 50 years old now. Just like KYMN will celebrate 50 years on September 27th. And I'm wondering, how old were you when Kim Radio, KYMN, and the Quarterback Club both opened approximately the same year?
My guess is I was 5.
Okay.
Wayne.
So your memory of KYMN and the Quarterback Club being brand new in town was pretty much little until you got a little bit older.
A little bit older, yeah. And I started fishing along the Cannon River when I was 8 or 9. So that's probably when I was first passing the quarterback club.
What was the biggest fish you ever caught?
Oh, you know, we used to catch huge carp, yeah. right down at the falls, you know. And I we weren't weighing them or anything, but they were big.
Yes,
they were big carp.
I've heard people pull walleye out of there, and
wow.
And I'm going, wow! I caught a huge flathead catfish and a channel catfish. About a week ago.
Really?
Down between between Stillwater and Hudson.
Okay.
Trolling.
Okay.
Brought them up off the bottom. Had a
wow.
lot of line out. It took forever. And they're heavy. I mean, this thing was that big.
Wow.
It was fun. Anyhow, we're talking about the quarterback club, and they do serve fish, not catfish, but they have fish sandwiches, fish dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback club is open for breakfast every single morning, except Sunday. And they serve breakfast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Any breakfast you want, cup of coffee, a donut, or perhaps you like to have bacon and eggs anywhere you want them, hash browns. And I'll tell you what, they just do a quick breakfast. And then, of course, you get into lunchtime. How about a little roasted chicken
mm-hmm.
or one of their flame-broiled burgers, the only place in town that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they have the same they have a menu that's, well, it's two pages. I have one in this drawer here. I could get it out, but pitas and hot beef, roast beef sandwiches, and hot roast beef and gravy. And they do it all at the QB, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street. Steve Jennings is my guest today, and I asked Steve to come in because he's been a busy guy. Haven't seen him for quite a while, and I always enjoy our conversations. And today, you brought an instrument. I asked you to bring your instruments. It would fill the studio if you brought them all.
It would, yeah. We wouldn't have room to talk.
All right. That's a good one. Well, what did you bring today?
Today I brought a ukulele, and I'm going to teach Wayne. I'm going to teach you a couple of chords on the ukulele, and you'll strum a few for our listeners in a little while.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not really good at anything that's mechanical.
Well, you know, we're going to work on that.
All
we'll
right.
keep it really simple.
All right. My dog has fleas?
Sure.
Is that what?
That's the tuning.
Is that
the
thing?
That's the tuning.
Hey,
There's a story about that.
Well, and I hope you can tell it.
Well, it's pretty simple. And I never knew this before June of this year.
And?
So the ukulele, when it was first introduced to Hawaii, the sound of it made the indigenous folks of the island, it sounded like a dog scratching with fleas. And so the my dog has fleas is the quote-unquote tuning. Those aren't the notes, but that's what we associate with the tuning. But it really, it's what they thought that instrument sounded like when they first heard it. Like a dog itching, scratching for fleas.
Well, I'm sure it will sound prettier than that. And I learned something recently, and that is if you take the dial tone on a telephone, it's in the key of A or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, and if you want to tune your guitar, you can just pick the receiver up and listen, and it will go.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Wow.
Is that an analog phone or a cell phone?
Well, that would be the dial tone phone.
Got it.
So I suppose it would be analog. It's 15 minutes after 9 o'clock. You brought some music.
Yeah.
And I like to hear music. I like to hear the stories behind music. I like to hear the mechanics behind music. And I have a CD ready to run. You told me which cut to play.
Yep.
I have no idea what it is. But do you want to introduce it before, after, during?
Well, I can just say this is from Mike Hildebrand's CD, which he recorded in 2000 with the help of Mr. Craig Wozner.
Oh, of course.
And friends. And so this is called Get Up and Get Going in the Morning Medley.
Here we go. Thank you. Wow, that is something. That's the good doctor, huh?
That's the good Dr. Mike Hildebrand.
I had a question.
Sure.
When I'm listening to that, Hildebrand is a soloist, and it's his song, and he's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But I hear the bass, the boom, 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 boom. I hear the drum, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the leader of the band when it comes to setting the rhythm and keeping it?
Well, everybody's responsible for that. There's no question. It's played at a tempo that's comfortable for Mike to play. And so he's part. He has to play a specific rhythm. And you know, when we're playing live, usually Mike starts that, and then I'll count it in, and then we're all responsible for that.
Okay, but does he play that based on your drumming and the bass unit?
Well, that's a good question, Wayne. It's a collaborative thing. This is one of the beautiful pieces about music.
Is that why you
concepts.
Rehearse?
That's why you rehearse. You've got a goal, and you've got to work together to achieve that. And music is a team sport.
Well, I remember as a kid watching some great shows that came to with the old Prom Ballroom, and we'd stand and watch people play, and you'd get a band that would come in, and individuals would have their solo,
mm-hmm.
and you had your favorite. And is it like that in the music industry that you're involved in, where you know, each performer would like to have his own solo just because they're good at it and they want the crowd recognition and the contribution?
I can't speak for other musicians, but for myself, I get plenty of musical and spiritual, energetic satisfaction from playing the right accompaniment for something. And so that's not taking a solo. There definitely are people who are soloists and who love that, that may be because, number one, they're really good at it. Number two, it's how they really communicate. Improvisation is part of their communication process. And three, certainly a healthy amount of ego is required in order to put yourself out in front of people. To either, that's a little bit of a tightrope, you know, you succeed or fail either way, and that's okay too. And improvisation, you know, comes from jazz. And the one of the beautiful things about jazz is that you can fail and find your way back to what it is. And there's a little art of improv.
What is your feeling about jazz? Are you an enthusiast?
I am. I love jazz. I like melodic jazz. I like orchestrated melodic jazz, meaning that there are styles of music which are bebop and post-bop music was a reaction to the times, and we need some more jazz historians to weigh in on this. My take on it is very simplistic.
Well, I had a cousin that's a jazz enthusiast,
mm-hmm.
and I had a guy here who had a jazz background. He had a band, and we played his music, and I'm going, oh, you know, I liked it. Mm-hmm. It was fine. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not knowledgeable enough to critique every instrument. But I gave it to my cousin, who's very sophisticated when it comes to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I ran into him, by the way, he's like 80 years old,
okay,
or a little bit older. So he was in all that jazz becoming pretty famous. Not the New Orleans jazz, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, hey, how did you like that CD I gave you? He said, oh, that wasn't my style. And I'm going, oh, okay. what do you think he meant by that? It wasn't my style. It's jazz.
Yeah. So there's a website to check out, musicmap.org. No, .info. It might be music-map.info. And this person who put this website together has culled over 600 different musical genres into a map. You've got 32 super genres, of which jazz will be one of those super genres. But then you can open up this page and you see all the links. It's a fascinating thing. So the fact that somebody says, that's not my style, that's, first of all, it's their opinion, so we support that. Second of all, there are so many different kinds of music, so many different kinds of jazz. That's why I was being specific about the kind of jazz that I like. It's just fascinating. And there are links to YouTube for every single one of those styles. There's links to examples. So it's a very cool resource.
Do you think that Stan Kenton was a big, big sound of jazz at all?
Certainly at that time.
Okay.
So was Woody Herman. You know, so was Benny Goodman. If we're talking about big band era.
What about Ramsey Lewis Trio?
Sure. I heard Ramsey Lewis at Luther College when I was there in the early 80s.
I heard him back in the 60s when he was at the Chicago Playboy Club.
Ah.
And, boy, I'm going, all that. I played his record. I think it's Take Five.
That's Dave Brubeck.
Okay.
And that record is called Time Out.
All right.
But that's another example.
I'm just not remembering the name, but we played it on the radio. Uh-huh. I mean, it was more commercial jazz than anything.
Sure, and Ramsey wrote more accessible material.
Right.
He wasn't trying to write stuff that was like musically out. He was trying to write stuff that was musically in.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote songs for Earth, Wind, and Fire, and or they recorded songs of his.
Well, the
Ramsey Lewis we're talking about now.
Yeah, and so when I sat there, I couldn't wait to hear that song we were playing on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he went through all of his things, and I'm going, holy cow, this is kind of weird, in a way, my first introduction to live jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, a piano and drums?
And bass.
And bass. And I especially was impressed with the brushes. You know,
yeah,
I like that. But anyhow, he waited till last to end of the first set to play that song. Actually, it might have been the second set. And then you go, oh, wow, this is what I can connect to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was at the wannabe, or however you refer to it, the cover bands that go around and cover various things.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Pink Floyd. In Faribault at the Paradise, and they were doing Pink Floyd, and of course I couldn't wait to hear Another Brick in the Wall.
Right.
And had video with it. It was a multi type deal, and of course they waited until the last set to play it, and then you can identify with it. And do you do that with audiences that may not be totally familiar with you or the band that you're playing with at the time? Do you cover a song so that the audience can relate and say, oh, yeah, you're good?
Well, I think that's a very valuable tactic or approach for many groups to introduce their sound via something that's familiar. Most of the playing that I've done recently, there's already a built-in audience. For example, last Saturday I played with More by Four at Crooner's, which is a jazz club. It used to be the supper club there off of 65 in Fridley, just north of Moore Lake. What was that called?
I never hung around that part of the country.
Okay. It's not so far. It's only 46 miles, according to GPS. But it's tricky to get there nowadays. But More by Four has a built-in audience. People come to see that group and hear those singers sing those songs. And they don't need to play anything that's an introduction.
Okay.
You know, in that,
I understand.
In our example, yeah.
How many musicians do they use?
Sanford Morda on piano, Jay Young on bass, although he had another show. He was playing Mamma Mia. And so we had Jordan Hedlund on bass, and a young guy. He sounded fantastic. So a trio, piano, bass, and drums, and then four vocals.
You know, you're so into music and all genres, I guess you could say, you've performed as mm-hmm. a young man. And by the way, I should let people know that Steve Jennings is from, you're from Northfield.
Yes, born and raised.
Raised in Northfield. And the name Jennings is associated with St. Olaf College.
That's correct.
Your father was the director of the band?
He directed the St. Olaf Choir.
Choir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. From 1968 to 1990.
Yeah, okay. So just so people know, this is a hometown guy here. Do you put your name in a like a magazine or a website and say, I am available as a drummer, and then they hook up with you, or is it all by reputation and an inner circle?
Over the last 15 years, I've developed a lot of musical circles, and so it's a phone call or it's an email. I don't advertise, but I am teaching lessons in Northfield now, so if anybody's interested in drum set lessons, let
cool.
me know.
All right. Do you still, didn't you play with Penumbra
Theater? Yeah.
Yes. Didn't you work with them for a while, or still you still
do? I
do.
I'll be playing Black Nativity in December.
Black Nativity.
At Penumbra.
Yeah, you invited me to come up one time and enjoy the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We've never taken advantage of that. And I was just pretty impressed with the fact that you were a white boy in a black world.
Well, we're musicians and artists, and we connect together. And that those distinctions aren't really made.
Because it's all universal.
Music is a universal language.
Yeah.
We can bypass a whole lot of nonsense by concentrating on things that we can do together to make the world a better place.
The other day I was playing a song that was in the top 10 of whatever year it was this person graduated. I think it was probably the late 60s or early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Played that funky music.
Sure.
And I never realized until I was listening closely
mm-hmm.
on what they were saying, and it was almost a parody, you know.
Right.
You think?
Wild Cherry was the
Wild
name
Cherry.
Of that band.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Steve Jennings, a local musician who is very successful, and someday I hope you get an opportunity to see him play. You ever played the Defeated Jesse James days?
2 years ago, I sat in with the band Hitchville in the beer garden for one song.
Oh.
But that's the last time that I have
was
played.
It when they knew you and they saw you?
I've worked with them, yeah.
And they said, hey, come on up here.
Yeah.
Did the crowd go wild?
Oh, we loved it.
Yeah. I mean, the local boy up there doing that thing. We have a local young man, Chad Johnson. He's going to be the premier band on Saturday night.
Oh, fantastic.
So he's moving up. We will be right back. Steve Jennings, my guest.
Hi, this is Sarah Hoffman at the Syngenta Research Station in Stanton. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton would like to invite you to the Dakota County Fair and take in all the 4-H and FFA exhibits and shows throughout the week. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton is busy working in the fields, labs, and giving tours. Contact your Syngenta Seeds sales rep for a demo plot tour and come see their products in action. Syngenta Seeds is a proud supporter of 4-H and FFA and hopes you can take in the Dakota County Fair this week.
Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmer needs, from feed, seed, fertilizer, herbicide, and custom application. Farmer's Mill and Elevator has 70 years of experience working with area farmers to achieve the best possible products. Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock reminds you to take in the Dakota County Fair this week and take in the 4-H and FFA exhibits.
This is Twins first baseman Joe Mauer, the legendary legend of legends, baseball son of the Twin Cities. Minnesota lore foretold of his greatness, and it couldn't have been more correct. He stands among us today, part myth, part man, all Minnesotan, all-star, 5-time silver slugger, 3-time gold glover, MVP, and one hell of a nice guy. That is Joe Mauer. This is How We Baseball. Get your tickets to see Mauer and the Twins at twinsbaseball.com.
I've been in broadcasting so many years that I remember you're no way ever going to say he's one hell of a player. You would say he's a very good player or something like that. in a commercial, a professional send it down the line commercial. Steve Jennings is my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. He is a resident of Northfield and grew up in the Northfield School District. And he is an outstanding musician. And also, are you a composer?
I've composed a couple of pieces. But I don't consider myself a composer. Maybe more of an arranger.
All right.
Definitely an arranger. Yeah.
Do you think that Frank Sinatra's arranger was outstanding? I mean, if you, I don't know if you like or listen to Frank Sinatra.
Well, yes, that's some, and I don't know, is that Nelson Riddle?
Yes.
That did a lot of the
Very
arranging
good.
There?
Yep.
You know, there's an artist in the cities, his name is Andrew Wallace, and he's got a Sinatra big band tribute, and
wow.
It's fantastic. It's really, really fantastic.
I just love the phrasing that they produce. It's just, you can hear it once and sing along with it. And it's not simple. It's just good.
Right.
How about the next group that I would like to push a button and hear?
Okay. There's a special reason why I wanted to play this next song today with you. And it's a little bit, it's a tribute to Lucy Schweitzer. Now, you know that Anna's Closet is closed.
Yeah, I just ran into her last week, and I'm sad to see her closing.
Exactly. And so this store has been a women's clothing store staple in Northfield for a decade and a half, 15 yeah. years. And early on, Pam Roth, Pauline Schuster, Jennings, my wife Pauline, and Lucy had a band called Dame Station.
And you know, when I put that in there, I'm going, that looks familiar.
Exactly. And so this song is a song they wrote called Bluer. And Mr. Craig Wozner has a beautiful piano introduction to this. So
All
this
right.
this is for our dear friend Lucy Schweitzer.
All right, here we go on KYMN Kim Radio.
Oh.
local talent on the Bluer on KYMN Radio. Dame Station, I believe, the name of the group.
That's right, Dame Station. That's Lucy Schweitzer, yes. Pam Roth, and Pauline Schuster.
Wow, that was great harmony.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think a lot of people knew how talented Lucy is. You know, she's quite the girl. And buying in clothing, for example. Exactly. I don't know about you. I like this show called The Prophet, spelled money, Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T.
Don't know about it.
Well, it's some guy that helps out businesses if he can. And he goes in and sees what they're doing wrong and how they're going to have to change this and that. And he infuses money and becomes part owner and all that. And a lot of people don't know all the work that's involved in retailing, for example, and in small operation. And Lucy, I want to just say this, Lucy Schweitzer's store said, come on in. The minute you looked in the window, it just said, come in. And when he got in there, it said, look, it was full of stuff, but it was spacey. I don't know if you, I just appreciated her ability to buy right and display right.
Absolutely. There are many other people better equipped with an opinion on that than me. But Lucy's a dear friend, and the fact that her presence on Main Street has gone away means that we all need to reach out to her a little more often.
Yep. My guest this morning on KYMN Radio at 18 minutes before 10 o'clock is a guy by the name of Steve Jennings. And it's your show, Steve Jennings. We can go anywhere you want, and I can come up with questions like I have been, but where would you like to go? Because I know we've done shows before, and we did your life and all that,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people listening right now didn't hear the first interview, and I always like to remind my guests that come back more than once, or if you come back, it has to be more than once, that not everybody listening now were listening then, and
right,
remember
right.
all those things. So.
Right.
Anyhow, when you were in high school, I just need to let people know because I always ask, did you get involved in the high school band and were there great expectations because of who your father was?
Yeah, I was involved in music, definitely in concert band and orchestra and jazz band. And the you know, we had a series of band directors when I was in high school. Wayne Feller, Don Casey, and then Leon Hafner.
Oh, I didn't know.
And
the
so
first
there,
one.
So the all of them were terrific examples and mentors in a lot of ways. Don Casey was the one that reinvigorated the marching band. So we had a marching band.
What year did you get out of Northfield?
I graduated in 81.
Okay.
So this would have been late 70s.
Okay.
And that was a discipline, you know. We were up early. We were at school early to do these rehearsals, and we had to learn how to march, and we had to learn how to, you know, deal with the heavy uniforms, you know, that smelled like they were 50 years old, which they were. And it was something, you know. And as drummers, we have a little more of a lead role in a marching band thing when you've got cadences and things that you play when songs are not being played, you know, to keep the rhythm happening for marching. And you hear this in all the parades that are in town.
Are they snare drums?
Yeah, snare drums and bass drums and toms and tri-toms and quad toms and cymbals and everything. Yeah. So I think that, my high school musical experience was wonderful and helpful in helping me. One of the things I really appreciated about Leon Hafner is he allowed me over lunch period to set up a drum set in the band room. And this is back when we had albums and I could put records on the record player and turn it up loud and play along with it. And this was my lunch hour often.
What were some of those?
Oh, Rush, All the World's a Stage was a big fan of that band. I think Lynyrd Skynyrd was probably up there. Frampton Comes Alive was an album that I played along with a lot. And you know, there were others, but those were kind of when the tide shifted a little bit, and I learned about Earth, Wind, and Fire and Tower of Power, thanks to Mr. Bruce McWilliams, by the way. And Bruce was a great musical influence on me. He hipped me to some really cool music. And Bruce is somebody that would be terrific to have on your show.
I think, what's his last name?
McWilliams.
I think I've had his wife on here.
No.
Jane?
That's his mother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Burr McWilliams was on the vocal faculty at St. Olaf and passed away a number of years ago.
All right.
Bruce's dad and Jane's husband.
Well, I had his mother on my motorcycle.
You did.
I gave her a ride.
Oh, fantastic.
Can you imagine that?
Well, Jane is a wonderful person.
Yeah. She came down for our 50th celebration last Friday.
Okay.
So appreciated that. It's 13 minutes before 10 o'clock. Steve Jennings is my guest. Did you ever go choral? Did you ever do choir?
I sang in choir through about eighth grade, I transitioned away from that working through the drumming world is hitting things, and this was my release and my escape from you know whatever issues a teenager has, but I loved that activity. I loved drumming.
Well, when you were in that,
and still do. Sorry.
Yeah, well, obviously, the boys' choir. Who was that? Was that the one that was producing albums each year?
Northfield Boys Chorus. That's right. Bob Swanson, Robert Swanson,
right, okay.
the director of that group. And we went on tours. We went to Mount Rushmore. I remember going to Washington, D.C. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a picture someplace of the Northfield Boys Chorus with Paul Wellstone.
I believe it. Yeah.
Senator Paul Wellstone.
Yeah. The late senator.
Yes.
Now, did you ever have the album where they had a picture of the whole choir?
Yes.
Do you point yourself out when you show it to people?
I don't carry it along with me. I'd have to dig it up, Wayne. But those are some fun pictures to see, you know, see yourself as a youngster.
Well, if I were a musician and I had been on an album like that as a young boy, I probably would have framed it and have it up in my music room or my rec room or, you know, someplace just where...
To show it off.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh. I mean, how many kids get to be on a photograph on a record album? I think it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
You know where it is?
It might be... in the downstairs closet with my other albums.
All right.
I'll take a look, Wayne.
Okay. We are going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we are going to play a particular cut on an album. Is that correct?
We'll listen to one song, and then I think we're going to get a chance to speak more about the Northfield Arts Guild production of Catastrophe.
All right, we'll do that.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school, you may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Get the education you need to land the career you've always wanted. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving part-time in the Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Minnesota National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota State Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you looking for spacious senior living in Northfield? Feel at home at Northfield Retirement Communities, Northwood Pines. Available for individuals and couples, this assisted living combines the privacy of one-bedroom plus den apartments with family-style meals and care available around the clock. Visit us online at northfieldretirement.org or call us today at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
Mm-hmm.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I thought I'd play a little bit of Earl Bostick. This is called Steam Whistle. And I just was, and oh, I just loved to listen to him when he in person, when I had the chance. And, of course, on record albums. But this is the guy that you're not familiar with, Earl Bostick?
Well, you had mentioned Night Train.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, okay. But is this an alto or tenor sax?
It sounds like a tenor.
Yeah. He's good. It was fun watching him play. I mean, just so into it. And, of course, I'm sure that you've had many times been able to watch people really get, what do they call it, the zone?
Sure.
And even yourself, you know, you get out of your solo and you go, wow, that was really good. it's 8 minutes before 10 o'clock. Should we get into this cut on the CD you handed me?
Well, let's hold off on that.
All right.
Because I think now is an opportunity to introduce Pauline Schuster Jennings.
No, wife. You know, I got to turn your mic on, so let's
okay, there we go.
Okay, give me a test there.
All right, I said your wife.
Okay, now it's twice that he said Schuster. Okay,
yeah.
is that what you want to be? Is Pauline Schuster professionally, but Pauline Jennings?
I'm not really tied to anything. I don't have Hilly. Strong feelings about it. I can be Pauline Schuster, Jennings, Pauline Jennings. I made Schuster my middle name, so it's not hyphenated, to make it just easy for everybody.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. It's easy for me, too. But you were talking about being in the zone and about watching people be in the zone, and I think that's one of my favorite things is to watch Steve get in the zone, and he does quite often when he plays. And it's a joyous zone for him, and it's very obviously a joyous zone for him when you watch him. He's smiling.
I enjoy seeing him infrequently, unfortunately, but one of these days I'm going to go with him or go to a place he's performing and say, I know him, see? people are like that. They're proud of their hometown people.
Yes,
speaking
absolutely.
About that, I've had the experience of doing some plays for NAG mm-hmm. in the Myrna Johnson era.
Right.
And I understand you are now a director.
I'm directing a show called Castastrophe over Jesse James Day weekend at the NAG.
And Defeat of.
The Defeat, thank you. The Defeat of. See, I'm not.
Wayne corrected me earlier.
Well, you're supposed to know because you're from here. I'm not from here. So the Defeat of Jesse James Day is over that weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And it's more of a variety show than anything where actors were asked to pick songs to sing for the show that they would never be cast for. So, for instance, I'm a director, but I'm also going to sing a song because I can't resist the opportunity to take advantage of this opportunity. And I'm going to sing a song that Don Quixote sings in Man of La Mancha, which, of course, I would never get cast for. But I love the song, and I've always wanted to sing it, so this is my opportunity.
Okay. What male performer will perform a woman's song?
There's Steve Lawler is going to be doing a song that Summer in Ohio, I think, is the name of the song. And I wasn't very, very familiar with it, but we could probably look it up. And then Jerry Fox is going to do Maybe This Time, perhaps, from Cabaret. Maybe This Time, that song, which is a beautiful song that usually is sung by the lead, Sally Bowles from Cabaret. Or Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, which is, of course, from Evita. That's the big, 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 big diva song that he might sing that one. So those are a couple men.
I would like to hear Ruth Legbold sing a song that some guy made popular.
Okay, I agree with you 100%, but she's been on vacation, so I haven't been able to call her every day and bug her and say, please, please, please. I was thinking maybe she would do from Oliver, Where Is Love? That song is so beautiful and so tender that I thought she'd do a great job. But she could do, Ruth, this is for you. Any song you want to do, you come and be in the show.
I would love to see her do an upbeat song
from
something from the 50s to now, maybe even rap. But she has such a beauty. She has such a.
I don't know any musicals with the rap.
Well,
so.
It's coming, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure it's out there already.
Well, Hamilton.
Old fashioned. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, anyhow, her voice is so beautiful, and the generally slower songs like in Hello Dolly and all the other ones that she's done. So it'd be fun to see her do an upbeat song that a guy made popular.
Absolutely. I love working with Ruth. She's terrific.
Is she still involved?
I don't know the last time she did a show. It might have been actually in Jesse with Lockwood Theater. I don't even know how many years ago that was. 4 or 5 years ago as Kate. And that's a beautiful song. She always does a smashing job for that.
Have you been in plays yourself?
I've been in quite a few. But I started in plays when I was... In eighth grade, I was in high school plays in New Prague. And we had some great, great directors, great shows. And ever since then, and I took a break when I was having babies and working up on St. For a while. And then when I moved to St. Cloud, after having a couple of my babies and having some time, I started acting in shows there with real pros. So it brought my game up a lot.
Were they all musicals?
No, not all musicals, but many of them were. I was in Jesus Christ Superstar. I was in My Name is Alice. I was in Pump Boys and Dinettes. Pump Boys and Dinettes was one of my favorite
roles. How
about
Hair?
We did not do Hair. We did not do Hair. I would have liked to have been in Hair.
So. All right, so your husband is pointing something out, and it
I pulled up the list of songs from that we're going to do in the show for Catastrophe.
Well, Steve Lawler, I said he was doing a song called A Summer in Ohio, and it's from a show called The Last 5 Years, which I was not familiar with, but the song is beautiful. It's a beautiful, great song. So,
but it's not familiar.
No, but you won't matter because he's going to do such a smashing job. And I think that, you know, one of the great parts of theater is introducing you to things you don't know.
Okay, I'm picturing some guy doing The Hills Are Alive, you know.
Right, sure.
But that could be a male song because of the range, etc.
Yeah, we'll change the range to fit the voice.
Okay.
Absolutely. But it's just the idea, and there's some very funny songs, and even the serious songs are kind of maybe funny. Me singing as Don Quixote, 100%, going toward that tilting toward that windmill.
Do you think this is an in type of a production? I mean, would a guy like myself appreciate it as much as a guy like Steve or Craig? Or
I think that maybe more the people that will get the most might be theater people, much more so than musicians, just because they know the songs. But on the other hand, it could be anybody because you can understand the words. It's not going to be like a rock band where you can't understand the words a lot of the times.
No, I understand.
Right? I know. I don't like that. But we will absolutely have the vocals up front and very, very much that you will be able to hear the words and get a kick out of it.
It's one of my pet peeves is have a young person, teenager, just out of high school or whatever, sing along to a rap song. I mean, what are they saying?
What are those words?
Yeah, right. And yet they're not every other word, of course, so you can't use it on the radio.
Well,
That's not all rap music. Right. I just wanted to point that out.
I know there are Christian rap and there are others.
Well, what does have to be Christian?
It doesn't have to be Christian. It can. There's very intelligent. There's social justice rap. There's a lot of different styles of rap. And in that musicmap.info website that I talked about, you can trace some of the history of that and understand more a broader palette of what that word means. I mean, that spoken word that actually potentially has a deeper and longer history than written music. No, it definitely has a longer history than written music. So the rap has gotten bad connotations, and I think it's important for us to dispel that and help people understand and educate them about the different kinds of music that exist through spoken word.
It's some of the most intelligent writing, actually.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is the faux pas that I committed back when I was doing a show called Visit with the Vikings, where I had different Vikings on every morning at 8:15 for 15 minutes, and I had a guy by the name of Boo Boo, and his last name is not a big, heavy set guy, like second string offensive guard, and I had him on the air and by phone, and I had heard that, hey, you do rap, and I had never heard of rap before. So what is rap? And he said, well, and I said, well, do me sing. He said, oh no, I have to have the beat. I said, well, I can find something. And I, you know, started pulling out Glenn Miller. And he said, man, that ain't going to work, you know. But I, so later on, I learned what rap was all about. And I was, I'm glad you laugh at that because that actually happened. Wow. We're going to take a brief break for the news on your radio station. We are KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, and 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1, The One FM.
Deadly weekend. Trump changes tune. I'm John Trout. At least 44 people were shot, five of them fatally, in Chicago yesterday in a series of separate shooting incidents. Police say gunfire in the city is actually down over last year.
This is a city where we've seen people take to the streets protesting the violence. It seems like so many answers are not coming in terms of what should happen next. We heard the mayor even talk about there needs to be a cultural change, but also a chance to get those illegal guns off the street.
Correspondent Ryan Young. President Trump had previously held to the belief son Don Jr. met in 2016 at Trump Tower with a Kremlin-connected lawyer to primarily discuss the adoption of Russian children. Now an about-face for the president, Abby Phillip reads from Trump's latest admission.
He tweeted in the clearest terms that we've seen him use yet that the meeting at Trump Tower was about getting dirt on his political opponent. He said, this was a meeting to get information on an opponent totally illegal and done all the time in politics, and it went nowhere. I did not know anything about it.
The U.S. has proposed new sanctions aimed at Iran go into place today. Correspondent Frederick Plykin on the impact expected to be incurred by the Tehran government.
The Iranian economy is already one that is in free fall. The rial has been declining at a staggering rate. I think it's lost about 80% of its value over the past 6 months or so. And so Iran is already in a lot of economic trouble. And this is another big psychological factor that will weigh on the economy.
The financial fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort resumes today. Testimony expected this week from Rick Gates, a Manafort associate and key cooperator for special counsel Robert Mueller's team after he cut a plea deal earlier this year. Pope Francis has expressed great sadness over the loss of life and destruction of property caused by Indonesian earthquakes. Sunday's 6.9 magnitude quake is believed to have killed at least 98 people. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1 FM, The One. And I want to thank Pauline for stopping by and giving us an update on what's going on at the Northfield Arts Guild. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to Mr. Steve Jennings. And Steve, I got to tell you that on today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight talks with Carrie Kennedy. Now, she's the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy and author of Robert F. Kennedy's Ripples of Hope. 50 years after his death, his legacy lives on, and Carrie's conversations with heads of states, business leaders, influencers, and activists are chronicled in Ripples of Hope. Carrie was just 8 years old when her father died. She shares memories of her childhood and what it was like to be on the train that carried her father as thousands lined the tracks to honor her dad. She spoke of her dad's speech in a black neighborhood just an hour after the assassination of Martin Luther King. That program at 11 o'clock this morning on The One, 95.1, and I hear her talking about this, Terry, about the interview. And I was working television at the time, and it was, I mean, like everything was cut out in regards to, you know, sports news. I was a weatherman, so weather shows, and just kept feeding all this information. And today, of course, they can do 100 times more stuff because of the ability to have various methods of media.
Right.
Steve Jennings, you have a story that you wanted to tell, and I want to hear it.
Well, fantastic, Wayne. If we could go ahead and kick in this song that we have, track number one. This is a jazz violinist named Randy Sabin, who really taps into blues and rock as well.
All right. Here we go.
Where do the blues hit you? Where in the body and brain does the pain of lying awake take its 12-bar run over the music of this living? Over what's not to be, not to be found out, not to be figured out, just to be felt in the solar plexus of last night. Oh yeah, my baby left me, and I hate my job, and my car's broke down again.
This could be the intro.
And I'm out of beer.
Okay.
And no matter how much money I deposit, it's gone before the first.
Performance.
So I say.
And this
don't
must
give
be
me
Randy's
no
introduction.
Tonight.
But this first song is going to be called J.D. Meets the Rhythm Section. And when they actually get to the music,
the back door,
there'll be something to enjoy.
I'm going to get him again.
Well, he's going to get him again.
The jazz pizzazz, dirt roll, finger note bending, music slender blues, fat with pain, and the stain of so many years.
I hear you in the background.
Catching all the tears that you'll never see.
I'm not playing on this record.
Oh, okay.
Hit me with the blues now so I can go home happy.
This is Randy Sabin.
Randy Sabin and the Fiddlehead Blues Band.
I won. What am I hearing?
All right. So this is Randy Sabin and his Fiddlehead Band, and we're listening to a song he wrote called J.D. Meets the Rhythm Section. Now, Randy has always liked to work with two drummers, a drum set player and more of a percussionist. on this recording is the world famous, maybe the most sampled drummer of all time, the recently passed away James Brown drummer Clyde Stubblefield. And so Clyde came up through James Brown's bands, you know, as one of two drummers. Clyde and Jabo Starks were the two drummers for James Brown. And Clyde lives in the Madison area. And Randy, after being asked to start the string program at Berklee College of Music in 1978, moved back to Wisconsin in 1980 and started educational improv methods for young string players. And that was his educational outreach component. And then he started working with this fiddlehead band and put this group together. And he got connected with Clyde. And it's a great band. It's really fantastic. I had a chance to work with Clyde. We played in Stoughton, Wisconsin at the theater there. Two drums, two drum sets. There's a few pictures. I'll prove it.
You know, it's interesting you're telling that story, because while I was listening, my question to you was going to be, holy cow, how does a guy do the upper part of the drum set and move across it and then have like a solo bass going on at the same time?
Right, you can
that
hear
it picked out. Yeah.
You can hear all the additional percussion instruments,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And so it isn't one drummer, it's two of you.
It's two.
Can you do that as one person? That'd have to be difficult.
There's a few drummers that have that ability. Indian tabla master Trilok Gurtu can do that.
Okay.
But mostly musicians are they're drummers or they're percussionists, and they're hired for that specialty. Most percussionists have a great command of hand percussion and all of the different...
Are you talking bongos? And
sure, yeah. Sure. And that could be all of the percussion instruments from the Latin American diaspora and the African diaspora. You know, Western music didn't really use drums other than timpani, cymbals, snare drum, and bass drum. Later came mallets, but... all of things we know as percussion instruments are from Africa and Latin America.
What is a mallet?
Oh, that would be like a xylophone or marimba or vibraphone.
You're talking about George Shearing type xylophone?
Well, George was a pianist, and there may be examples of people who worked with him, but I would think of Lionel Hampton as a vibraphone player and Bobby Hutcherson as a vibraphone player, and you know, great command of improvisation. These are jazz people, improvisation on what's considered mallet instruments.
Right.
And there are many others. Northfield's very own Dave Hagedorn is a fantastic improviser and plays mostly vibraphone in jazz contexts.
Now, how deep have you been able to go in your lifetime into areas that I would totally not understand or appreciate or even be aware of? I mean, like, have you ever gotten into the French quarters other than as a spectator?
No, I never did any playing down there, but I did go to the Jazz Fest a couple of years in a row in the mid-90s, and it was amazing. It was inspirational.
As a performer?
No, okay. I just went as a... as somebody who was taking in the music, just a spectator, just a music fan.
For example, somebody that was on stage that you were really impressed with and were a fan of, and they get done and they're tearing down and they're hanging around, and a guy like me could go up and say, hey, I enjoyed your show.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like yourself could go up and say, I really like that set that you did this and you did that. Mm-hmm. And you'd be talking their language.
Mm-hmm.
Would they invite you into get into a deeper conversation or just say, thank you, do you want my autograph?
Certainly not the latter. The first time I was in New Orleans, I met, and it was kind of a unique thing. I went down also, this would have been... at a time when I was considering going to graduate school. And so I, part of my time down there was to apply at the school, and I did perform for some faculty members. The guitar player Steve Mazikowski was one of those faculty members, and he is part of a group called Astral Project. And I really like this band. And it was also an early connection with Bobby McFerrin. Before he went, he was one of his breakthrough moments, from what I've heard and understand, was at the Hollywood Bowl. And so before then, he lived in New Orleans for a stretch, and he worked with this improv group, Astral Project.
Is this the guy, Don't Worry, Be Happy?
This is Don't Worry, Be Happy, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, Mr. Bobby. Yes, and here is the Wizard of Oz in 5 minutes, right? And he does all the voices.
Wow.
And the music. He's amazing. And those are old examples of his mastery. He made a record with Yo-Yo Ma, which was incredible. The cellist,
yeah.
Which was incredible. And he works with his group in the cities.
And yeah, I was going to ask you, isn't he teaching someplace? Or
he has a group. I don't know exactly what he's doing,
okay,
to be honest. But he has a group in the cities that he works with that take his methods for utilizing the voice and the body as a communication instrument, and they bring it to life on stage.
Would you, as a professional magician, musician, do people that are really professional and write their own or arrange their own or are excellent performers, do they look at a song like Don't Worry, Be Happy as like, oh, for God's sakes, that was so easy, and it sold millions and made a name for him?
Well, if you've listened to it recently, you realize that he's doing all the parts. He's singing the bass line. He's singing the backgrounds. He's singing the melody. He's singing the harmony. He's singing all of those musical components. So to say that it's easy is a flawed statement, just from the standpoint of what it took to put all that together. Now, his I don't remember when that came out, but this is a message that sometimes is very valuable to hear, and it's not ever that simple. But I think that the message that came across and the melody that he chose is something that connected with people. And so that
musicians, the melody?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not really doing it justice. But the point is that something that is, I haven't heard musicians say bad things about that song.
Well, it's so catchy, tricky, and it's so enjoyable, and you can sing along with it. I can't whistle along with it,
mm-hmm,
but it was a popular big hit on the pop world.
Sure.
And I would assume some musicians are kind of specialist and elitist when it comes to their particular genre, and here comes this guy with a big hit, popular song. And now, after you explain it, mm-hmm, I understand how hard it was,
right.
But it's a very relaxing song, and I didn't know all about that. So thank you for telling me. Next
sure
time I hear it, I'll say, oh, wow.
Listen to the bass line. Listen to the background vocals. Listen to all the parts of it, and you'll realize that he's doing all that himself.
Kind of like Mike Oldfield and Tubular Bells.
I'm familiar with that record, yeah. Yeah.
That was a work of one guy,
mm-hmm,
doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
21 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. And my guest this morning is musician Steve Jennings, a very busy man, and he's been on my show more than once, and I always enjoy talking to him. You brought along an instrument that you wanted to, I asked you to bring an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said, bring an instrument or instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And last time you brought, we talked drumming.
Yeah.
And you were using, I think, the table.
Sure.
And anyhow, I'm sure that you play probably many instruments, not really good, but good enough.
I dabble, and I'm learning myself. One of the reasons why I brought a ukulele is because I have learned that there is a method of learning music that allows people to play songs right away. And the ukulele is a great tool for that. You don't have to know very many chords. You can know a couple of chords and you can play a couple of songs right away. And I learned this process from a group called Little Kids Rock. And it's something I'm very excited about. Because, you know, I'm teaching myself guitar and ukulele, and because I'm able to play songs right away, it puts me in a musical context. It puts me in a point of performance context, which allows me, as we spoke earlier, to work with other people, to communicate with other people through music. And I just finished up last week a three-week program. I had a small ensemble, and it was a modern band ensemble. And so we took the first week, and I had students 8 years old, 9, 11, and 13. And we took the first week, it was 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. We met for an hour and a half, and I took the first couple of days, and we worked on guitar. And you know, they've got small hands, so they can't, with acoustic guitar, even with an electric guitar, they can't utilize all six strings yet. It just doesn't quite physically work. But by teaching them one-finger chords on the highest musical strings, the top three that are closest to your toes, and by muting the bottom three musical strings on a guitar, the three that are closest to your nose, you can put a little paper towel in there, just mute those strings. With the top highest three strings, you can teach a G chord with one finger. You can teach a C chord with one finger. E minor is those open three strings. And so D is the most challenging, but when you use a phrase like the triangle of doom, they understand that it's the shape of a triangle, and you can, so that's four chords, G, D, E, and C. And you can play a whole bunch of songs, including Don't Worry, Be Happy, with those four chords. And it's taken one finger for two of the chords, the G and the C, no fingers for the E, because that's open, and then all three for the D, which is that triangle shape. And so you can talk about this with a young person who's never picked up a guitar, and you can give them an access to playing songs right away.
Are you talking about the left hand if you're right-handed?
That's okay. Correct. I'm talking about the left hand. And so you introduce simple strumming patterns. You give them a pick right away, and you talk about rhythm and playing together. And I just think it's fantastic. So we did guitar and ukulele and keyboards in that first week. And the second week, we picked some songs. And this wonderful group of students put together a program that included All Star, the song by the band Smash Mouth, which we probably can find and play. It included The Lion Sleeps Tonight, a medley with The Lion Sleeps Tonight and Don't Worry, Be Happy, where they did all the vocal stuff. And then Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles, and a piece by a current modern rock band called Imagine Dragons, and that song is Believer. Again, it's not doesn't have a lot of chords, but it has different textures. You need electric, you need distortion on the guitars, and again, we're making all that happen with just one and two and three finger chords that work for the shape of their hands and the size of the hands, and then we closed with our version of Santana's Oye Como Va.
That's pretty.
Which is a two-chord song. And the idea that you can get kids excited about music, young people, old people, anybody who has no musical experience that is interested in a collaborative musical experience, you can get them on instruments and playing together in a short amount of time is pretty cool.
Is it necessary to have patience?
We're not talking about doctors now, right? We're just talking about the teaching element of it.
I'm talking about the students.
Or the students.
If I can't do this right today, I don't want to continue.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'd put a little money on I can have you playing the song today. That's the thing about it. Nobody left the first rehearsal with, I'm not sure I can do that. Everybody left the first rehearsal with, where did the time go? We're done already?
That's a success story right there.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And it's a great program. There's much more to talk about this. After the break. But I'm excited about Little Kids Rock and how to integrate it into after school, during school programming.
Do you have a CD that is an example?
I don't. We'll pull something up online.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. If you're going to do that, you have to get over my shoulder here. Let me get it started if I can. And do you want me to go to Chrome?
Yeah, you can just open up the web browser, and I'll take it from there.
Okay, I think I'm doing it. I'm pushing some buttons here.
Okay, I'm coming over.
Hello. I need somebody.
I got it.
You got it. Okay, here. He's, where are you going? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, while he's doing that, so we can play a selection that he wants to use as an example, I'll get the board ready for the output of the computer. And in the meantime, I want to remind you of some things that some people have taken advantage of so much. I can't believe how busy they are already.
If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. I'm Greg Berube, the owner of CrossFit Scopus. After spending time in our facility and with our team, we want our members to walk out of our doors feeling like a better version of themselves. You can lose weight, build muscle, and get a great workout in, but the community and support of Scopus will keep you coming back for more. Go to CrossFitScopus.com. We will help you build life-changing habits that improve your quality of life for now and for the future. We are CrossFit Scopus in Dundas, right by Menards.
Hello, Twins fans. This is Jennifer Novak with the law firm of Grundhoffer & Lutescher in downtown Northfield. I joined Grundhoffer & Lutescher last summer, and like the rest of the team, I am committed to providing outstanding legal representation. Having grown up in nearby Lonsdale, I feel especially proud to go to bat for the people of Northfield and the surrounding communities. My specialties include family law, criminal law, and business law. Here at Grundhoffer & Lutescher, we always strive for a home run for our clients. So stop on in or find us online at www.northfieldlaw.com.
We're at the 10:30 mark here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Steve Jennings is my guest, and we're going to have a little bit of a lesson coming up in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to tell you again, if I may, just in case you missed, on today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight talks with Carrie Kennedy, daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, and author of Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. 50 years after his death, his legacy lives on, and Carrie's conversations with head of states, business leaders, influencers, and activists are chronicled in Ripples of Hope. Carrie was just 8 years old when her father died. She shares memories of her childhood and what it was like to be on the train that carried her father as thousands lined the tracks to honor her dad. She spoke of her dad's speech in a black neighborhood just an hour after the assassination of Martin Luther King. That's at 11 o'clock this morning. Those are two of the major things that happened in 1968. It is 10:30 on 1080 Radio, KYMN, and we have a guy on the computer, Steve Jennings, and he's trying to pick something or pull something up. And in the meantime, I am going to anticipate that we're going to hear word from some people. By the way, I do want to say, if you ever need a water softener or a water softener fixed, call Kenny Johnson Water Softening, associated with Cannon Valley Water.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
This is from the chord progression jams that they have on their website, littlekidsrock.org. And this is an E minor to A minor Latin jam. It's a two-chord song, and you got backing tracks, right? This is the backing track. And so as a student, I can teach you those two chords, and then you can immediately play along with this. Boom.
You have to have nimble fingers, don't you?
Well, remember we just talked about this, the E minor chord on the guitar with the top three strings closest to your toes. That's open. So they don't need any fingers down for that.
Okay.
All right.
Then the one closest to your nose?
The three strings close to your nose are muted. So for young people, this is just perfect. And that's just, they have hip-hop jams, they've got blues, they've got rock, blues, fast, swing, they've got all sorts of stuff. And these are student practice components that are on the website that you can access. And there are hundreds and hundreds of songs that you can learn their simple, iconic language. And I think that's something I should point out, is they use icons to illustrate how to play. So you're looking at a guitar neck, that icon, to see where you put your fingers. So there's a guide there. It's like a chord guide, so you understand how to make that happen.
Well, you've been in the business for a long time, and you're learning various instruments. Do you think that people that learned how to play a guitar, electric guitar, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s even, learned by practicing and listening and researching, do you think it's unfair, or not unfair, but now you can go to your computer and visualize it, see it, get an instrument, probably a computer instrument, and try to replicate to learn? You think that's a huge advantage, or does it kind of destroy originality?
I think that it's a great advantage. The technology is a great advantage, because when I was learning songs, I would bring the needle over to the record player and I would play along with it. And then if there's something I didn't know, I had to stop, lift the needle, go back and listen to it. Stop, lift the needle, go listen to it. And so it took that was a different form of learning, which was focused on ear training. And I think of all of the musical instruments and abilities that we have, one of the strongest is our ability to hear. Our ear is one of the strongest instruments that we possess. And the great thing about technology nowadays is that you have access to so much music, so many different kinds of music at the touch of a finger through the computer. And yes, you can look at tablature as a guitar player and understand what that is. The issue that I have with most tablature is the rhythm is not articulated, so you know when to put your fingers at a certain point, but you don't know. And this isn't true for all tablature, but a lot of tablature that I've seen, you don't have rhythmic components written in, so you don't understand how to get from point A to point B in a metronomic sense, which is valuable, especially when you play with other people. So the upside of the technology is you have this amazing access. And the downside of it is the ability to at the end of the day, if you're only playing with along with your computer at home, then you're not working with other people. And for me, music is a collaborative thing. I want to work with other people. So my goal with this kind of program is to get young people, or people of any age for that matter, playing music with other people. So again, the computer is an access point, but my goal would be to get people playing together.
What is this called?
Oh, this sounds just like a rock. This is just a drum beat. It's a shuffle, slow shuffle drum beat.
So a student would be listening to this and then trying to duplicate it?
Well, as a drummer or as a guitar player, you could play along. Wayne, let's just count this through. So this is the pulse, right? You feel that?
Yeah.
Okay, can you tell me how often the cymbal crashes? So if we went one, oh, that's the end of it.
Oh.
Perfect. Well. That's fine. It was every two measures.
Okay.
So by having that access, you as a young guitar player, you can play a chord that lasts a certain distance because you can play the chord with the crash cymbal, or you can play the chord every pulse. So there's a lot of different ways to talk about the dynamics of music, the longs and shorts of music. I'm not sure what that was.
I think it's called the Rock Blues Shuffle.
Well, there you have it. So these are drum-only tracks right now, ones that you've chosen.
Well, you're a drummer.
I am.
So anyhow.
I just want to say, Little Kids Rock is a fascinating, fascinating approach to music and approach to music education.
And you seem to be an apostle to start young.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the younger you start, the more you can learn, and the more open-minded you are, or more dexterous, is that the word?
Well, young people are pretty dexterous, the way they're made up. It's those of us that get a little older need to come up with ways to keep our dexterity.
Yeah, and what about your hands? Do you watch out, like you don't do carpentry work or something, because your hands are your life?
Well, that's true. As a musician, that is true. I'm very careful when I do use power tools. I like building stuff.
No.
So, I'm careful.
Have you ever used it as an excuse? Hey, I'd like to help you move that crate, but I got a, I could slip. You don't?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I have an excuse all the time.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you have crates that need moving, Wayne?
I don't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I am going to be moving stuff in the garage this afternoon. I'm really not looking forward to it. But anyhow, Steve Jennings is my guest here this morning. I always enjoy talking to him. He's a townie, and his wife is from Wisconsin?
New Prague.
Oh, from New Prague. Why was I thinking Madison? Okay.
Well, we talked about Madison.
Okay. New Prague, the home of some celebration that comes up after Defeated Jesse James Days, and I can't remember the name of that. It's like Lucci or something.
Is it Dozinki Days?
Yes, Dozinki Days.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get some kolachkis.
I got those at the Montgomery big shindig.
Yep.
Brought home a dozen or two bags. Anyhow. My story about New Prague, when I was a young man, I used to love drum and bugle corps.
Sure.
And there were a ton of them around. And there was one group from St. Paul, and they made a product that now Ken's Baked Beans is that they're in that building now, St. Peter Meats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I just follow them down. They were the last band through, or drum and bugle corps, and we all would just follow them to the end of the parade, marching and keeping rhythm, and we were like 18 or 19, so we were having a lot of fun that, you
understood.
Know. Okay. And I'm wondering if you ever got into that at all, like when we had our brief history of the drum and bugle corps in Northfield.
I do remember seeing some competitions out at the Raider Field, former Raider Field off of 7th Street, maybe when I was in high school or a little bit older. But I didn't ever perform in drum and bugle corps.
But did it give you goosebumps? Well, you were in the marching band. So.
I was in the marching band, so I could appreciate what was happening on the stage. No, it's amazing combination of the visual, the way people are moving, you know, including whatever they called the flag corps or this sort of thing, you know, and the musicians and the drummers, the percussionists. Amazing.
I had a fellow in here that played for the University of Michigan marching band, which is a big deal. And what always amazed me on any level is to be able to play your music and count off your steps at the same time. So I'm wondering if, and I don't know anything about music, but if I wonder if it's a 4-4 beat that you march to, or 8. You know, you were in the marching band. I mean, you can march in place to keep the rhythm, and then you can walk off, and you have to count and play your musical instrument at the same time.
Well, see, that's the beauty of playing musical instruments, is the understanding of that to understand there is a count, there is a pulse, and so the marching is connected with the pulse. And so if you're playing the pulse, then the marching is not necessarily that difficult. But to your point, you have to count until you have enough skills where you don't need to. Say, was this musician on recently from the Vintage Band Festival?
Yes, I had somebody on from that. Yep. I can't recall his name. I can
look know
in my
that
book and see if I can.
Do you know that my first drum lesson was with a former Northfield band director, Russ Pesola?
I knew Russ.
Russ, yeah. And so Russ has been playing with American Polyat. That's one of the brass bands for years. Was he just in town?
Well, he might have been playing for Koopman, the Koopman band.
Okay.
When he was here. I'm not sure. I'm trying to see if it worked. Okay, that's way down the road. We're trying to look up somebody that, I don't have them listed, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
But I did have somebody on that was part of the big show that was held that weekend.
That's amazing. And
which always reminds me of the tuba Christmas program that they have at St. Olaf. You ever gone to that?
I haven't been to that, but I know people who've been involved with it.
And I, first time I ever went, I was shocked that they carry a melody,
mm-hmm.
a tuba.
Sure.
Carries
Why
a melody?
Not? Why not?
Well, because
you have bass vocalists that sing the melody.
Well, because most of the tubas I've heard were rhythm.
Sure. Harmonic rhythm, right? Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. This sort of thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So my question, why do most polkas end with da 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 da?
It's a great question. I don't have an answer.
Have you ever
for
noticed
it.
That?
Well, there's stylistic ending things. You know, country music has stylistic endings. And you can, in the Over and Back band with Mike Hildebrand and Craig Wozner, Gordon Oshwald, and myself, and many guests, you know, we don't always rehearse and decide what the ending will be, but then we will come up with something in the moment, which will be like a stylized kind of ending. It's one of a handful that we could choose in that moment.
Oh, so you'd look at the other guy and just say 7 or 3?
No, there's no looking. It just comes out.
Okay, it really does.
We're listening. We're listening to one another.
Okay. And then who would be the last instrument to have a sound if you can't bam?
Well, it should always be the drums.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I get it. Well, it'd be kind of hard to listen to the violin, or not violin, what do you call it, the doctor plays?
He plays a fiddle, but a fiddle. It is a violin. That's yeah. Exactly.
And okay. And, of course, what's most requested song of your Over and Back band?
Oh, Orange Blossom Special.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the second most requested?
Craig Wozner playing a piano solo on any song.
All right. What would be the third?
There's only two. Just those two.
Not Devil Went Down to Georgia?
No, Mike, we don't ever do that. We don't
what?
We don't play that song.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I'll ask Mike.
All right.
Let's ask Mike.
Well, Mike could do it. But would it have been Will that would have sung it?
No.
Craig?
Craig probably would sing it.
Yeah.
Let's think on that.
Okay. Your show, what are we going to do next? It's 13 minutes before. It is 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Steve Jennings, a townie, is in studio with me. He's one of my go-to guys, and I always enjoy him very much. And it was, were you thinking of Gary Anderson? That was on my show last week with the Buddy Koopman Band. He's the old, his dad was a beekeeper, and now he kind of dabbles in that.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious, because I know that that event happened
yeah.
The last weekend in July, last weekend. And it's every year, it's amazing what Paul Nemestow has put together.
Mm-hmm. And Gary Anderson, now the Buddy Koopman Band is a big band,
mm-hmm.
playing all the great Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey and all of that, and you can swing and sway to it. It's good stuff. We'll take a break, come back. You have a disc that I'm going to put into my magic machine right after this.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
Hi, this is Sarah Hoffman at the Syngenta Research Station in Stanton. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton would like to invite you to the Dakota County Fair and take in all of the 4-H and FFA exhibits and shows throughout the week. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton is busy working in the fields, labs, and giving tours. Contact your Syngenta Seeds sales rep for a demo plot tour and come see their products in action. Syngenta Seeds is a proud supporter of 4-H and FFA and hopes you can take in the Dakota County Fair this week.
All right, 11 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I want to thank Susan Vistendahl, who is my memory person. She helps me out on trying to recall things, and she mentioned it was Gary Anderson who was on my show, and it was a lot of fun to have him on and learn more about another townie. Speaking about townies, Steve Jennings is my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And, Steve, I have another CD locked and loaded, as they say, ready to play. Do you want to talk into it? Do you want to tell us about it now, or do you want me to just play it and talk about it after? You're the man. You're in control.
So this is Olympic Reel, a Mark O'Connor song, as recorded by the Over and Back Band.
Okay. And
thank you.
Over and back on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and what was that called?
That was called Olympic Reel, okay. Written by Nashville-based fiddler Mark O'Connor, terrific musician. That's Mike Hildebrand on fiddle, Gordon Oswald on bass, Craig Wozner on keyboards, and yours truly on drum set.
Steve, do you ever look at the audience and see who they're... what their body language is? For example, I was going along with the bass there, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Then I started catching you, mm-hmm. and I started going with the upper beat. And do you ever do that as a musician? Look out in the audience, and can you figure out who's dancing to what instrument?
Well, not necessarily who's dancing to what instrument, but I love seeing an audience into the music. And so I feel like I'm doing my job right. If I can tell, they are.
All right. We're going to take a final break. It's 6 before 11 on the Wayne Eddy Affair with Steve Jennings.
When you take your family on a little getaway.
Dad, are we there yet?
Mom, Johnny hit me.
I'm hungry.
Don't spend your vacation waiting for a tow truck. Visit Elite Auto Care for an inspection before you go. They can repair your air for a cool and safe trip. Elite Auto Care will also replace those worn-out tires or brakes. Now, while they can't do anything about whiny kids, they can make it a safer, more comfortable trip for everyone. Find them 6 days a week at 517 Water Street, Northfield, or online at EliteAutoCareMN.com.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Streitz with Streitz 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or StreitzHeating.com.
Burns. We're back. It's 5 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Good morning. Steve Jennings, a guy that I just really admire an awful lot, has been my guest on more than one occasion, and I always get an education when you come in, and I hope some of the... Well, I don't feel stupid when I ask you questions like I just asked you, if musicians look at the dancers and say, oh, they're dancing to my instrument, because
mm-hmm.
your drum might be faster than the bass, etc.
Sure.
So do you do that?
Well, musicians connect with... I love seeing the audience... you know, connect with the music, and each individual person might be connecting, like you were describing, with a different part of the music. And when I can tell that they're connecting with the music, even if they're not connecting with the drum component of the music. And as a drummer, I feel like I'm definitely doing my job if they are connecting with the music.
Do you get stronger as the longer you play drums? That's a lot of work that you're using, your hands and your wrists and your elbows and your ankles and your feet and all of that. Do you get tired?
Well, certainly. I mean, it takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is that it's one of the things that is that's keeping my... spirit and my energy young, is to be involved with something like that. Because it's really, you know, ultimately, as with drumming, with your hands, when you need to play faster, you're supposed to be more relaxed. That's the concept. It doesn't always work out that way. But so as musicians, we should be able to play not effortlessly, but we should be able to play and not drive ourselves into the ground. There are times when I need a drink of water, or I need an apple, or I need, you know, a Clif Bar or something like that, you know, in the middle of a show, just to get that little edge of energy back onto what's happening. But, yeah, it's keeping me young, and I love it.
What... is it harder to instruct somebody that's left-handed?
On the drum set?
Yeah.
No, I might even postulate it's easier because you're starting with your hands open. The right side will follow the right side. That's the difference with a left-handed person, is maybe the drum set needs to be set up backwards. because okay. their left foot will follow their left hand.
And so your
but
left
this it can all be taught, I believe.
Yeah. A right-handed drummer would be probably using the would he be using the bass drum and the left would be the hi-hat?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's how it works. And how many drums are in your regular that you use most of the time?
I typically play a five-piece kit. That's a bass drum, a snare drum, two rack toms mounted on the bass drum, and then either one or two floor toms. So okay. It could be six.
How about bells? Cowbells?
No cowbells. No okay. cowbells. But
cymbals?
Your cymbals, set of hi-hats, and a ride or two, depending on the style of music, and then a crash or two, depending on the style of music.
Well, I don't know about you, but the time has flown. It's already approximately, well, I'll give it to you exactly, 10:59.
Wow.
So, plus 17 seconds. So, let's do one more number before you leave. First of all, bad farewell, and we'll just leave with the tune playing.
That sounds great. Good to talk to you, Wayne. We'll do this again.
Oh, okay. I hope so.
Yes.
And stay busy. What's your next gig?
The next thing this weekend, I'm playing up at the Gull Dam Brewery in Nisswa, for those of you that will be up there, 6 p.m. with the Brian Naughton Blues Rock Trio. But this is Orange Blossom Special.
All right, let's see if we got it going here on KYMN Radio. A little applause here.
A little applause, and a shout-out to Mr. Will Healy for his fine work with the Over and Back Show, which was kind of the gestation of the Over and Back Band. That's where we got a chance to play together a lot. And Will is back on his feet again. That's a whole nother story. Love you, Will. Thanks for the music. We'll talk soon.
Steve Jennings, my guest on KYMN Northfield.